My name is Chris Cody. I represent the appellant in this matter, Guardian, Scrupa Investment Company. And the impact today is we're asking the court to reverse a summary judgment order that was granted on July 24th. It was certified by the district court as final on October 23rd, 2015.
Counsel, was that a final appealable order in and of itself without certification?
It depends on which. Our argument is no, Your Honor. It could have been appealed. We ran the risk, Your Honor, of appealing that then and having it fall under CERN. If it was not deemed a special proceeding, then it may have fallen under CERN because of the piecemeal nature, and we may have not even gotten this far. You know, the Court of Appeals may have looked at the filing and said, no, there are still underlying partition proceedings to occur, and sent it back down. So the Court of Appeals did ask for us to brief that.
If Section 25-1315 had not been adopted based on our jurisprudence regarding partition actions, would it have been appealable?
I believe it could have been. Under the previous case of Peterson versus DeMood, which was recently cited in the case determined just in September of this year, the court didn't treat it as a special proceeding, or didn't treat it as a certified final order. They treated it as a special proceeding, kind of a different avenue to come up. And in that particular case, they held very clearly that when a partition action involves questions of title, and the questions of title are determined in a vacuum, that can then be appealed to that point in time.
And this would qualify as a Section 2 Peterson versus
The partition was completion. If it would then fall into the, it would arguably have been a waiver, but
you're saying you can still address the issues, but you just have to wait until the end of the partition.
Yeah, this we took those belt and suspenders and had it certified as a certified order, and then brought it down. And that was the first section of my argument, so moving right along. The underlying issue here, Your Honors, is not. The facts are established. Summary judgment, in hindsight, once the record was established and it was bruised, we probably should have filed a counter motion for summary judgment. We don't disagree with the facts. The notice provision was given in the manner in which they were given. So what we're left with is strictly determining whether or not that notice was provided properly under 77-1832 and subsequently 77-1834. In this particular case, the owner-occupier, it's not occupied, there's nobody living on the property, it's undeveloped commercial agricultural property. So the statute says in that situation, it must be served by certified mail. That was attempted here to an address that is no longer valid for the company. And so at that point, the second section of the statute requires a reasonable inquiry into true owner of the property and the location. That was done, expertly so, I might add, by the appellee, and they found the owner. They found a gentleman the president of Scrupa Investment Company. They found him at an address on Dodge Street, which is business office. And here's where the mistake were, and I believe to be honest, rather than send a certified letter to Mr. Scrupa at that address, they decided to do it by personal service. So they put together a letter and sent the sheriff out to this address. But the problem was the cover letter had the correct address. The notice, the redemption notice, the actual document that has been delivered, still had the old address. The sheriff went out to the old address with the residence, the house that was the same place that certified mail came back.
How do we know where the sheriff?
Well, the sheriff, from the only thing in the record that reflects where he went is that he talked to a person who explained that it was a residence and there had not been a business there for 2 years.
I mean, the return itself doesn't recite where the sheriff went.
No, his return does not cite any self,
and nor does, nor is there any other evidence in the record to tell us where the sheriff is.
Other than the fact that he spoke to a person and they said this is a residence, and the residence is not in the family business.
This is testimony as opposed to evidence based on his police service.
This was in the sheriff's handwritten notes, in the actual return itself, where that, the only place that any evidence occurred.
The sheriff didn't bear that.
No, there was no evidence directly from the constable, the sheriff, whoever had actually attempted that.
So it's an inference that you're drawing from your what the sheriff, what the content of the return statements. You're drawing an inference that it wasn't to the premises that was actually the subject.
Yes, and there's also mirror evidence from Frank Cooper himself in that case where he says no service was ever made at that building. And his office building. So those two together are the evidence that, he didn't go to his office building, talk to a woman who said, this, you know, no one's lived here for 2 years. We lived in this house for 2 years. Reading those two things together, we know what they're
doing. You're combining. A return of service says I went somewhere.
Yeah.
And then affidavit never got it.
Yes, I'm reading those two. They're separate pieces of evidence, but reading those together, there's no other conclusion that he went to the old residential. And so what we're left with then is that proper under the statute? And the statutes are strictly construed. I mean, what the law is doing here is taking property through a forced sale and giving it to another party. And it does so in a very reserved fashion, and it requires strict compliance. And it is, the statutes reading them together here could be clearer. I'll just leave it at that. I know this court has struggled with this statute for years. But it says in one hand that it has to be certified mail, but then it adds a reasonable inquiry and says if the owner cannot be found. And where Judge Randall, with respect, misstates the law, he simply summarizes and says, the statute specifically provides that notice must be served by certified mail to the record title holder where the property tax statements are mailed. Then he goes on and says, if such attempted service is unsuccessful, notice via publication is required. That's not what the statute means. The unicameral could have said, they could have simply said, drive by certified mail, come back on return, you can go to publication. They didn't. They had a special language in there that said, you could only publish if the owner cannot be found. What we know from the record, the owner was found. They found Frank Scruba at this address, and they just, for whatever reason, didn't send the certified mail there, and then through a Scribner's error, missed him through the sheriff's there. I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, and we ask that question.
Sure. 77-18-32 talks about service upon the person in whose name the title to the real property appears on the record of the record. Who is that?
Who is that?
Do you think this record shows us?
Scrupa addresses.
Okay, and then it goes on to say, to the address where the property tax statement was made. What is that?
That address would have been the old address, the residential. And that was returned as unsigned for. And then, as I said, the statute doesn't then say, if that happens, you can publish. It then requires an extra level of inquiry, which was done here.
I was referring to the sit down. This is over 1% of, what does the record tell us? 1% of what?
It's a 1% undivided interest in my property. This is what they bought at the tax sale. So that's it. Scrupa still owns the rest of the fee titles. They were attempting a partition action, which and our counterclaim is the subject of the summary judgment. As far as what type of property? Undeveloped, agricultural, possibly commercial, developable. It's a large parcel.
Thank you. Mr. Rand?
It is Mr. Rand. Good
morning to you.
Yes, may it please the court. My name is Steve Rand. I'm the attorney for the Cooperative Law Office of Tax Partners in this case. It is interesting to note here that Mr. Kroger says the facts are not in dispute. One aspect of this case that needs to be looked at is the presumption that a treasurer's tax lien is valid, that it is accorded a presumption that notice of trial is provided under the statute, and that the person who applied for the treasurer's tax lien did everything that should have done under the statute. The presumption here, I would submit, was never rebutted by Scrupa Investment Company. The evidence that they point to in the record is, as Justice Miller stated, a sort of inference based upon where the sheriff may or may not have come when an attempted personal service of the notice or application. It is not the burden of guardian tax partners to get an affidavit from the sheriff to explain where the sheriff went and go out and try personal service. That burden was on Scrupa Investment Company because the treasurer's tax deed, and that was presented as Exhibit 1 on the summary judgment motion, should be presumed to be valid. And I would submit to you even further that that is an academic point in this matter. Because if you look at Exhibits 2 and Exhibit 3, which explain the efforts that guardian tax partners took in this case to try to get notice of Scrupa Investment Company, that they did everything right under the statute. Section 77-8732 requires that notice sent by certified mail to the property owner at the address where the property tax statement was sent.
Can you address the requirement of address for the tax statement? Who has
the responsibility to that? The property owner, Your Honor. They held out to the world that if you wanted to reach Scrupa Investment Company, that you could reach them at the 100. With respect to this, that you can reach them at 166 Street address. If you look at the Douglas County Assessor's website, the owner is actually listening to Frank Scrupa on the Douglas County website, and at that 166 Street address. If you didn't look, we obtained a title report here, or applied to a title report, and it showed that Scrupa Investment Company was the last title holder's record. If you go to the Secretary of State's website, you would have found that their principal office address was 166 Street address, and that the registered agent for the company was Mary Petty, who was at the 166 Street address. So it's tough to find fault here for what Guardian Tax Partners did. Scrupa Investment Company not only did not pay their taxes, but held out to the world that, hey, if you want to reach us, the place to reach us is the 166 Street address. That's correct, Your Honor. No, it was sent back on claim. So if you look at the statute, 77-1832 provides for certified mail service. Turn it then to 77-1834. It says that if the property owner cannot, upon diligent inquiry, be found, then you're entitled to publish notice for 3 consecutive weeks and they're accomplished in service. Your Honor, I want to make this distinction. I don't think anything. Okay, the diligent efforts that were taken here. Your Honor, I understand there's some ambiguity in the statute, but I think that is how you have to read it. The diligent efforts are, obtaining the address for where it's sent certified. Yeah, your diligent efforts to figure out who to send it to and send it to that address. You have to keep in mind here that when you apply for a treasurer's tax deed, you have to apply in a certain window. I think at the time that this was done, it was three years from the kind of 6 month window in which to take action. So the idea that you have to make all these efforts, repeated efforts under all circumstances, check every address, investigate every rabbit trail, go down, try different methods of service. It can't be done and then still accomplish what's required to be accomplished or to get clean prior to that window closing. Three consecutive weeks. That burns up time, and you have to get that on the other window.
So
that, I think, needs to be kept in mind there about trying to determine what that phrase, probability of inquiry, means. It cannot mean that you just have to keep going and going and going and try to have a service. We also disagree with the way that Helen
The delinquent taxpayer has time to pay off the tax. He does have time to renew.
That's correct.
Under the appellant's interpretation here,
they say that we have found Scrooge Investment Company. Because you had an address for Frank C. Scrooge at the 72nd Street. Found cannot mean that you just have an address for purposes. Because from a practical perspective, everybody has an address when you're talking about real property. You can look at the accessory website, you can give an address to the company. If a company owned it, an entity owned it, you can look at the Secretary of State website and get an address. So found in 1834 cannot mean that you just simply have an address for that person. Because if it did mean that, then there would never be a circumstance where you would be able to publish notice, because everyone would always be found. They got service because they finally updated the information that the Secretary of State website. So, being found for purposes of serving the notice and the partition action was totally separate from applying here on the partition action.
On the published notice that was done in anticipation of the tax, was there any mailing of that notice by regular mail to mail?
Your Honor, I don't believe there's any record in that. If I'm mistaken, it would be in the record. I don't think the statute requires it.
Assuming that there is, and I agree with you, there is, from what the record shows, do you think that section 25-5, whatever it is, that ordinarily requires a qualification is made, that you must serve by regular mail? A copy of the notice. Do you think that applies? Is this statutory?
No, you're not, Your Honor. In Article 18, I believe you have a statutory scheme set up to deal with tax schemes. And the procedures that we should be looking at are in Article 18. That's right. I mean, you have a civil procedure statute in Chapter 25, and you have revenue and taxation statute in Chapter 77, and then the Treasurer's tax procedure. In Article 18, I think you have to look within the scheme that's set up in Article 18 to determine what notice is required and whether that was met.
There is no constitutional challenge to that statute in this case.
No.
You think there is potential for a constitutional challenge?
Speaking hypothetically, no, because they're designed to get notice, Your Honor, and legitimately, we're talking about a circumstance where you have a party here who didn't pay taxes for several years and was an entity set up in the state of Nebraska and just communicated to people that 166th Street was the location. So this is certainly not the case to address that, because not only did the statute satisfy here, I think there's also efforts above and beyond what's required in the statute in order to get the group investment company notice. They just simply were hard to find, and in that circumstance, you're entitled to publish notice and release knowledge for your need to accomplish under our claims. If I could conclude and just mention one thing, I think there is a standing issue in this case.
look at section 77-1844, and in the article acceptance, which is Hunsinger opinion in 2004, and article acceptance, which is Larkin opinion in 2007, in order to challenge the validity of the treasurer's tax deed, there must be a showing in the record that the unpaid taxes, if I may just finish this point, that the unpaid taxes were tendered in order to have standing to question the validity of the treasurer's tax deed. There's no showing in the record here. If you look at the article acceptance, the Hunsinger opinion, they refuse to weigh on the issue of the appellant there because there's no reference of no respect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are you up to that? Are you about that?
He has 1 minute, 29 seconds.
Thank you, Your
Honor. No, Your Honor, there were no taxes due to it. This is a different situation. There were no taxes due in Ellen because I've got the citation to my brief, I can show them how much you'd like. But there's case law press and citations that says it doesn't apply. That section doesn't apply. And the record's clear that there was nothing to tender to the register of deeds. Were these tax certificates? I don't know that they were void ab initio because the law has been changed. They no longer have to prove what they did for the notice. I think they're void now, but that's what we're asking the court ultimately to do. I don't think they were void ab initio as far as the clerk looking at those. Those taxes were all paid prior to filing the lawsuit. That's the ability of mine. Once those paid, there's nothing you could have done to check that box. Mr. Ranum has argued that the upon diligent inquiry language should be ignored, is what he's saying. He's saying that if there's no certified mail, I can publish. And the problem with that is the publication statute says cannot be found. And under these facts, the owner was found. Once the owner is found, publication is off the books. And so unless we're going to rewrite that statute and take out the diligent inquiry.
Hypothetically,
you're going to find that there's an ISO door when it's normally under the sheriff. They know he's in the house, he's found, more than a year, but he can be served with that way. Well, Your Honor, that's the conundrum that these statutes have created. If you find an owner, then you've got a duty to have that buried. Send him the certified mail that the previous statutory section said.
That's not like good. But
Your Honor, those would be different facts because you would have a situation where, and I'd say my time, I'd say my question. You'd have a different set of facts where you're going into court saying, look, these are the diligent efforts that we use. And we sent certified mail to that place. So you're checking both boxes in that particular situation. So in that situation, I don't think that you could argue that, well, they didn't get us by certified, and they knew where we were, therefore, as long as we could avoid the sheriff, we definitely share. I think in that situation, the court would have to say, no, they complied with the statute, and they sent certified mail. And if they chose not to sign for that, that's at their peril.
Thank you very much. Next case of the day is Midwest Renewable Energy LLC versus American Engineering Testing. Senators, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Please, the court. My name is Dean Jungers, and I represent Midwest Renewable Energies. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for